Okay. All right, 12:30 minutes, all right? You gotta go. Okay, so let's start. So, today's topic, as you can tell from the title, is anger. Okay? So anger affects all of us, as we know. Each of us, myself included, could probably easily recall the last time we got angry. Maybe it was this morning, maybe it was a few minutes ago. So I don't have to give you examples of anger, but I just wanted to share two very striking modern-day examples of how anger affects us on a global level. So one, if you remember about, I think it was about 10 years ago, they came out with something called frustration-free packaging. You remember this? I mean, they still have it nowadays. But
what was that?
What was it? It's called frustration-free packaging. So basically, whenever you ordered any kind of like, usually it was like electronics or some type of like little thing, not a big, like say food item or something else, it would come in those like hard plastic packages, which like in order to open, you had to like cut it with scissors or with a knife, and it would always be like really impossible to rip apart, and it would get like sharp, and people would... So they actually had a term for what people experienced when trying to open these packages. It was called WRAP. W-R-A-P, rap rage, right? So the anger that they felt in trying to open these packages, and I'm myself included, I remember how hard these things were to open. But because people were literally going crazy about opening these packages, so Amazon and you know a number of other large vendors started this frustration-free packaging. So instead of coming in this you know hard plastic package, it came in like a nice cardboard box, where you could just, you know, open a flap and just and just open. I remember, because the first time I bought, I think I bought a Bluetooth headset, and this was like 6-7 years ago.
It's a double plastic thing where it's like sealed.
No, so, like, so usually
it's
have a...
on the inside, right? And on the outside it's white and it's really
it's usually, it was usually
open.
Clear plastic. It was like a hard, clear plastic, and it had like, it was like sealed around the side. Right? And you had to like, you had to like cut it, and then like when you ripped it, it would be like really hard.
Yeah. Now I know what you mean.
They still have it here.
It's frustrating.
Exactly. So,
and
so
they
I remember.
Tie it to the plastic side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's sharp, and you like cut yourself. Exactly. So I remember, I ordered this Bluetooth headset, and like there's a certain thing when you get it in that nice, you know, clear package, and it looks pretty good, and then it came in like this little cardboard box, and I'm like, this is my Bluetooth that I paid like $60 for, like it seems like little. So I remember when they went to that thing. So that's one.
Can't win.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's one global example of how anger actually affected consumer products. But another one, which I actually just saw in researching for the shiur, which is pretty crazy, is something called rage rooms. Have you guys heard of this? Rage rooms? Rage rooms, yeah. So basically, there are these places scattered across the US and the world. There's one actually in, I think it's in Houston, called Tantrums. It's a place called Tantrums, so I'll read you the description. So it was started by a woman.
My friend wanted to do this.
So listen, oh, you did? Okay, so look, so listen. Tantrums is a business where people can let off steam by using bats, poles, golf clubs, and sledgehammers to destroy TVs, mirrors, cups, sheets of glass, and more. So basically they just put all these things in a room. You pay whatever fee, they give you a bat, a sledgehammer, and you literally just spend, whatever, 20 minutes just smashing stuff, just getting out your anger. So the article says that this woman started...
With
IKEA furniture. So listen, so it says Baker started Tantrums after she was laid off from her job in the oil industry, and she said her business acts as therapy to some and fun for others. So, and apparently they have these all over the U.S. They're called rage rooms. I don't know, maybe they have some in L.A. I've never seen them. It seems to be, yeah, it seems to be. And I think just from personal observation, and you guys...
You don't have to need someone to do that, though. If you have a bat and an old TV...
Yeah, they have an old bat and TV.
You could do it yourself, right?
Yeah.
No, so not also really. From personal...
So many TVs
are... You need a clean up afterwards. You want to clean up afterwards. They get you more upset. It ain't worth
it. And also just from personal observation, and you guys could probably confirm this, that people are just angrier nowadays than, let's say, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It just seems that people are more angry. You know, on the street, driving, road range, it just seems people are a lot angrier. Maybe it has to do with patience. People are less patient, and therefore they get anger easier, but for sure driving, I could tell you people are much, much angrier just driving. So it is something that's affecting us, and it seems to be getting worse. So let's see.
Especially in LA,
exactly. In New York, it's been that way for a while, but it's actually seeping into LA driving, exactly. So let's see what Chazal said about anger. So if you look at source one, says it's a Gemara in Eruvin. Adam Rabbi Lai Bishlosha Devarim Adam Nikar. If you want to tell the true essence of a person, what their real nature is, you look at three things. And we could spend the whole shiur just on these three things, but I'm just going to focus on the third one. So the first one is, the Gemara says, Bikoso. And if you look at Rashi says, Bikoso, what does that mean? Imdaitom yusheves alav biyeno. See what he does when he gets drunk, right? And we know that when you get drunk, your essence comes out. So see what he does when he gets drunk. That's one way of looking at the true nature of a person. Secondly, Bikiso, with his wallet or his money, what does that mean? Rashi says, Kishenosein venosein imbnei adam, right? How does a person conduct their business dealings? That's where you can tell another way of telling their true nature. And three, for our purposes, Bikaso, Rashi says, in his anger, she'eno kapdan yoser midai. That when you see what a person gets angry about, or if you see how he gets angry, if he gets angry about certain things, not angry, you could tell a person's true nature. So anger is not just another midah, just another character trait. According to Chazal, they saw it as something fundamental to the essence of a person. You can really tell the true nature of a person by looking at what he gets angry at, how he gets angry, and how he controls his anger. So that's source one. Let's look at source two.
What was the second one?
Bikiso, how he conducts his business dealings, if he conducts it honestly.
Three of the biggest triggers for men.
Exactly, right.
Alcohol,
right. Exactly. Pleasure, money, and anger, right? Those are three of the sort of like the trigger points. And so you see how a person reacts to those or controls those, that's really their true essence. Look at source two. Source two highlights all the, well, at least the negative health benefits, not benefits, the negative health outcomes of anger. So the Gemara says, Kol ha'koaz kol minei gehenim sholtin bo. If you get angry, different forms of gehenim will come upon you. Fine, go to the next line where I had it bold. Velo od, ela she hatachtonios shotos bo. That if you have prolonged anger or many, many episodes of anger, you're actually going to get hemorrhoids. You'll actually get hemorrhoids. And that's actually medically proven that stress and anger actually can exacerbate or cause hemorrhoids. And it's not even just hemorrhoids, that's what the Gemara says. But if you look at source 3, so anger and aggression are highly correlated. So this is a study, actually, that looked at other studies from... Do you guys know what hemorrhoids are? They're like... I don't really want to get into the specifics,
like,
but there's some...
Issues?
Yeah, some type of intestinal, like, issues where you develop
blisters.
Like blisters around the large intestine area. Yeah, so you could look for don't Google images. You don't want to. Just Google the.
No, I know what hemorrhoids is. We come from a long.
You have a history.
Mother, grandfather, our whole family had hemorrhoids.
Okay. So we can talk about that after. Okay. So.
From stress or anger.
No. It doesn't mean the only cause of stress or anger, but it could definitely be exacerbated by anger. Yeah.
A lot of physical conditions.
Exactly, yeah. So that's source 3. So look at source 3.
I have a blister on my lip.
Uh-huh.
It comes and goes, and the doctor says it's only from stress.
There you go.
Sure for it.
So guys, stop giving him such a hard time.
Everyone knows.
So look at source 3. So source 3, it was a study that looked at all the studies from 2000 to 2010 that examined what the physical outcomes or the physical... problems that come from anger. So they looked at, like, I don't know, 50 to 60 studies, and what they found is that it's highly correlated with heart disease, right? If you get angry a lot, you're much more prone to heart disease, to heart attack, heart disease, eating disorders, actually, diabetes, and then the last two are pretty self-evident, car accidents, right? If you get angrier, you're more likely to get into a car accident. And also risky behaviors in, you know, teenagers and young adults. When you get angry, you usually go to risky behavior. Okay, so Chazal also realized that anger has health outcomes that are negative. So it's not just, anger is a way to tell a person's essence, and there's actually a lot of health issues that can come from anger. Okay? So let's spend a few minutes on understanding.
Giving into the anger that causes the health issues, or not giving into it?
You mean, is it holding it in, expressing it?
Just holding it in, and then it just causes.
Yeah. So I mean, they're both bad. They're both negative ways. Meaning, if you hold it in too much, that can affect you physically, but also expressing your anger. You know, there is a concept in psychology that there are healthy ways of expressing anger, or ways that you can get it out. Maybe not destroying TVs, but healthy ways of getting it out. The
bot buddy?
The bobo, exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
I had it for my kids also. The doll that keeps
gets back up.
The bobo doll, exactly. So to answer your question, so there definitely is somewhat of a value, maybe more with kids and teenagers, and sort of getting at your anger in healthy ways. But you're right, both holding it in and expressing it too much can lead to physical health problems. So let's go weiter. Let's see source 4, which is the Rambam. And the Rambam is really going to be our avenue to understand really what anger is all about, or what the essence of it is. Okay, so let's quickly read the Rambam, because he says a lot of very fundamental things here. So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, source 4, says that every midah, every character trait has positive aspects, has negative aspects, and you should never go to one extreme. You should never be totally to one side of a midah or totally to the other side. You should always go b'derech ha-mamutza, the middle path, right? The derech ha-benoni. Okay? So, and we could go through examples, but we don't have time for that here. But then he says, if you look at source 4, look at the third line, yesh deos, but there are two character traits, two midos, she asur lo la'adam linhag bohan b'benonis. Right, that you should not take a sort of middle ground and not be too extreme on one side. You should go to the complete opposite extreme of that character trait. And what are those two?
Anger.
Anger, okay. What's the other one? Does anybody know offhand? From one extreme to the other extreme.
Close.
That would be a good guess. Right. So he says, gava, right? Govalev.
Right. It's a nigger tarban.
That you should be very humble.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So he says the two midos of gaiva, right, of haughtiness, and kas, and anger, those are the two midos where there's no room for, you know, I'm going to go to a middle ground. I have to go as far away from that midah as I can. Distance myself as far as I can. Okay? Correct. So let's read further in the Rambam, okay? V'chein hakas. Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara says, should you have any kind of gaiva? So the maskana of the Gemara is that you shouldn't have any. Lo mina velo miktasa. But there is one sheet in the Gemara that says you should have an eighth of gaiva, exactly. Exactly. Right. People say b'derech drush that what's an eighth of an eighth, in mathematically, an eighth of an eighth is how much?
Quarter.
The opposite. You have to multiply 8 by 8.
8 by 16.
Multiply 8 by 8.
Multiply by
1/64th, right? So they say b'derech drush that we know from kashrus that if you have one part treif to 60 parts kasher, it's bata, right? We have this concept of bata b'shishim, and that something is bata when it's mixed with 60 parts of something else. So they say, b'derech drush, that you should, a tamen chacham should have a shminis of a shminis of gaiva, an eighth of an eighth, which is a 64, which means that he should have some kind of self-esteem, but it's batal in the greater scheme of his anava, right? But let's go back to kas, because I don't want to focus so much on gaiva. So the two midos that are you can never go in the middle path are gaiva, haughtiness, and kas, and anger. The Rambam says, continues, Amru Chachamim Harishonim, I'm on the second to last line, or third to last line of the Rambam, Kol HaKoes Ki Ilu Oved Avodas Kochavim. Somebody who gets angry, it's tantamount to worshiping idols, right? So, and when Chazal say that, it's not just trying to highlight the degree or the severity of anger. There's clearly a deeper connection, meaning how is anger like worshiping Avodah Zarah? That's one question. And then the Rambam continues quoting another Gemara of Amru, Shekol HaKoes, Im Chacham Hu Chachmaso Mistalekes Mimenu. If a person gets angry, then if they're wise, if they have knowledge or understanding, then their chachma will actually leave them. Okay?
While they're angry or...
So we'll see. So we'll see. There's different interpretations, but let's see. So I want to ask three questions on this Rambam, okay? Question one. Why these two midos? Meaning, why are these two midos ones that you can never go in a middle path? Why do you have to completely stray from them? Second question, why is somebody who gets angry tantamount to being Ovid Avodah Zarah, to worshipping idols, right? What's the deeper connection between those two? And three, which is really the first, just the other side of the first question, is it really true that there's no positive way of expressing kas? We see examples, so this is why I brought in Shimon and Levi. In this week's parasha, Shimon and Levi get upset because Shechem raped their sister Dina, and they kill out the whole city, right? And Yaakov gets angry at them, he says, why are you doing this? And we see later in Parashat Vayechi, he curses their anger, and he said, you were wrong to do that. But later in Chumash, we have at least two examples of where it seems like anger could be channeled in a positive way. One is Pinchas, right? When Pinchas sees Zimri having relations with Kazvi, and so he kills them, right? And Hashem says, you know, you did a great thing, you get kahuna, bris shalom. And the second example is when the Jews are sitting with the Egel Azav, and Moshe says, who, mil Hashem Eli, right, who's going to stand up for Hashem? And Shevet Levi says, we're going to. And they actually kill thousands of their fellow Jews, the ones who are worshipping the Egel Azav, right? So both of those examples, seem to be anger channeled in a positive way. Right?
In death,
right. It happens to be...
Correct.
It happens to be that the immediate action is death, but you see from the Torah that it was a good thing in the big scheme of things, right? Right, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around
nowadays. Not a good result.
Nowadays.
That the anger was good.
So let's see. So those are the three questions, okay? Why these two midos? Why is somebody who gets angry like he worships Avodah Zarah? And why are these examples from the Torah not really just positive expressions of anger when it seems like they are? Okay? So let's understand anger. Where does anger come from? So I want to suggest that really these two midos, anger and gaiva, are really two sides of the same coin. Okay? So let's think of situations where we get angry. Just throw out a few situations where we get angry. Doesn't have to be true, exactly. Right. Things don't go our way, okay. When else do we get angry? That seems to be a pretty general category, right? That you can think of many examples of that. Things don't go our way. Somebody makes us feel bad, right? Somebody does something which we don't like, right? So any number of situations of anger, if you really think about it in a deep way and you boil it down, the reason you're getting angry is because whatever's happening, either the person who's making you angry or the situation, is an attack on your own self-control and your own self-autonomy, right? So what do I mean by that? In our core, we want to be able to control our life, right? We want to be in control of everything, and we want to do what we want to do, right? And we feel that we have a certain sense of gaiva, as we pointed out, so we feel like we should be able to control things and things should go our way. So when something, a situation, a person comes at us that goes against that, that triggers our anger. Okay? So what I want to suggest is that anger is really just the outward expression of a really deep sense of gava, right? Meaning we feel that we're important, things should go our way. We want to control our situation. We want to do things our way. And when somebody else or some other situation attacks that or goes against that, so we express that feeling of wanting to be in control outwardly in an expression of anger, right? Whether it's exactly right, ego, right? Which again, we said you have to have some level of ego. But if you think of, just think of, everybody can just think right now of a situation, the last situation where you got angry. If you really boil it down, there was something there that sort of cut or really penetrated to your inner sense of self, and like, this is not what I want, or this is not, or I feel not in control because something's happening and I can't control it, right? And then we express it in anger. So I think that's why these two midos are related. So kas is the outward expression of gaiva.
Well, the
perfect, yeah, exactly, right. Right, exactly, same idea. And then you can answer our second question. Why is getting angry like worshipping Avodah Zarah? Okay, worshipping Avodah Zarah is a bad thing, but why is getting angry like that? So using this paradigm, if the whole purpose of the world, Hashem created us, and He wants us to recognize Him, right, to be moded to Him, to realize that Hashem created the world, created us, and we should have a relationship with Him, in order to do that, we need to lessen our concept of self, right? We need to reduce our gaiva if we're going to be makir Hashem, if we're going to realize that Hashem is the world, and we need to have a relationship with Him. So if we don't do that, if we tap into our gaiva and we say it's all about me, right, the world revolves around me and what I want and how I want to control it, so we're basically denying in some way the existence of God. Not directly, we're not saying there is no God, but we're sort of pushing Him away. We're saying, you know, God's over there, I'm running my life. It's my life, I want to do what I want with it. And therefore, so we understand why gaiva is like being Oved Avodah Zarah, because you're basically saying, I'm worshipping myself, I'm not worshipping Hashem. And if kas is the outward expression of gaiva, so then kas is also like being Oved Avodah Zarah. Right? Does that make sense? Anger. Right, so if anger is the outward expression of gaiva, and gaiva at its core is really denying Hashem, or sort of pushing Him away, saying, it's all about me, what I want, how I want to control my life.
Right.
So when we express our gaiva in anger,
we're
just reinforcing the same thing, that I'm getting angry because I want to be in control, it's about me, the world revolves around me. And Hashem, yeah, you could be over there and I'll dive into you three times a day, whatever, but when it comes to like what happens in my life, I want to be in control and I want to determine what happens. So when we express that in anger, we're really tapping into the same distancing of Hashem from our lives. And that's why getting angry is tantamount, or is really like being Oved Avodah Zarah, worshipping something not other than Hashem. And then the third question, which is why aren't the examples of, let's say, the Shevet Levi by the Egel Azav, or Pinchas, why aren't those examples of anger channeled in a positive way? So for that, I want to get to part of the neuroscience of anger. So look at the brain diagram, okay? So if you look at the brain diagram, you see the where it says limbic system in the middle there? It's like that green, blue, orange, and yellow structure, okay? So that's the part of the brain. It's called the limbic system. It's made up of various parts, but the most important part is the amygdala. And that's the part of the brain that controls fear, anger, and the related and basically emotion, those related concepts. So when we're afraid of something, the limbic system takes over, and we go, I think I mentioned this in previous year, and we go into that flight or fight response, so our body tenses up, we sort of get ready to fight the threat or to run away. And but what happens, which is fascinating, they've done studies and they've shown this, what happens when our limbic system goes into high gear is that our frontal cortex, which is the front part of our brain, which is the part that is involved in self-control and like logical thinking, in sort of higher order thinking, that completely shuts down, right? And we know that from examples, right? Like when you're angry, you can't think logically, right? You ever try to reason with somebody who's angry? You try to explain things in a rational way? They don't get it because that part of their brain is completely shut off, right?
So you have to wait for them to calm down.
Exactly, right. Right, and Chazal say that. Ein misratza l'adam b'shas kaisa. You can't reason with somebody when they're angry because that part of their brain is just shut off. It's not working.
But you said what happens to the limbic system?
it gets activated, meaning that part of the brain takes over and it, you know, tenses all the physical manifestations. So your breathing becomes quicker, your heart rate increases, you tense up, you get ready to sort of, you know, from an evolutionary perspective, you get ready to like fight the bear or whatever. Exactly, right. So what's fascinating, so that makes sense when there's something that causes you fear, right, because we understand that. But what's fascinating is that when something gets you angry, the same system goes into effect. So somebody could insult me, or somebody could cut me off on the street, and my brain will act as if I'm in fear, as if there's something that's about to hurt me or to kill me, right? When I know that's not really true, right? Somebody just cut me off on the street, or somebody, you know, did something to me that got me angry. But what's fascinating is that in the brain, your brain basically thinks it's the same thing. And I think with what we explained based on the Rambam, it makes a lot of sense, right? If every situation where I get angry is really an attack on my sense of self, on my autonomy, then in a certain way, my brain interprets that as the same way as a physical attack, you know, a bear is coming at me. If there's an attack on my own self-concept or my own sense of control, so my brain interprets that as the same thing, and it goes into the same mode. So that's one thing to keep in mind, that anger really turns us into
fight or flight,
and we really lose all sense of logical thinking and rational thinking.
You think they've tested that part of the brain?
Yeah. They've done scans with people who get angry, and that part completely shuts down.
As if someone's in a fearful situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The same parts of the brain are activated, exactly.
Controlling it or understanding it, I guess. Like you're saying, you can't obviously.
So that's one thing. Don't try to reason with somebody who's angry, but also just to realize that anger is really brings us back to a more primitive animalistic state, right? It brings us to a very basic. It sort of cuts out all our higher order thinking, which makes us human, right? Our neshama. We don't tap into that. Okay, so let's end.
Animals get angry, monkeys get angry, but humans are able to keep it a little bit more.
Right. So and that's what defines us as humans: our ability to control our emotions, right? So let's see source, you know what, let's skip source 5. Maybe we could do it at a different time. Let's do source 6 and 7. So basically, so now that we understand how anger works and why it's so related to our sense of self, so now I think we can explain why Levi, Shevet Levi by the Egel Azav, and Pinchas, their acts weren't really positive expressions of anger. Because what's anger really? Anger is, again, the outward expression of gaiva, but it's also a loss of control, right? We're not in control of our impulses, we can't think in a logical way and be in that mature, sort of calm emotional state, which we need to control ourselves, right? We're very out of control when we're angry. And therefore, both when Levi killed the other Jews as part of the Egel Azav, and when Pinchas killed Zimri and Cosby, if you look at the Mefarshim and you really study it well, you'll see that they were in control. It wasn't an act of you know, unbridled anger or passion. And I'm not going to go into Source 5, but Source 5 basically says that the Chachamim, at that time, when Pinchas committed his act, wanted to put him in Cherem. They wanted to excommunicate him. And the Torah Tamima, to basically cut him out and say, you did something horribly wrong, you can't be part of the community.
Okay.
So the Torah Tamima explains that they thought he was doing it as an act of like, of unbridled anger, right? He just got so angry, he's like, and he just did it. And they said, that's not okay. And Hashem actually had to come out and say, no, Pinchas did it under control. It was a controlled, meaningful act. He didn't do it out of control, out of pure anger, and therefore it was okay. And Levi also, yes, the action that they did was killing, which we always think of as sort of like an unrestrained, you know, passionate expression of anger, but really it was controlled, and it was Moshe told them, go and kill the people who are being over the Egel Azav. So it was controlled, it was meaningful, and it was from Hashem. And therefore, Kaas, so again, there's no positive expressions of Kaas, of anger, because anger at its core is really a loss of control. And these two examples, they were in control. Yeah, the maisa, the act, seemed like an out-of-control act. It was killing, but it was like a controlled, meaningful act of killing. Sort of like when Beis Din kills somebody who deserves a death penalty, right? They're killing him, but it's not an act of, you know, of unrestrained passion or just like, let's kill him. It's meaningful, it's purposeful, it has a place, okay? So let's see source 6 and 7. We're not going to see source 6 and 5 because it's we're out of time, but two practical ways of dealing with anger, right? Because we we all experience anger.
They were angry
when they killed Shechem, exactly. And that's why Yaakov got upset at them. If you look at the Psukim in Vayechi, when Yaakov is giving all the blessings to his children before he dies, so the Pasuk says, Arur apam kiyas. He curses their anger. And Rashi says he wasn't cursing them, because they had a lot of positive qualities. He was cursing their anger. And he's referring back to that to what happens in this expression where they killed the whole city of Shechem. Exactly. So two practical ways of dealing with anger, okay? So one comes from a story in the Gemara, source 6. We're not going to read it. I'll just tell it to you outside very quickly. But basically, two guys made a bet. They heard that Hillel HaZaken, was the most humble, calm person. He never got angry. And they made a bet, I'll pay you 400 zoz, which is a crazy amount of money, if you're able to anger Hillel. So the guy said, fine, I'll take you up on the bet. So he went to Hillel's house on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and he knocked on the door, and the Gemara says Hillel was showering, he came out of the shower, he got dressed, he came to the door, and he said, yes, what can I help you with? And the guy proceeded to ask him all these ridiculous questions. Why are the people in Bava, why are their heads shaped in a weird way? Why do the Africans have wide feet? Why do the Asians have thin eyes? Whatever, all these ridiculous questions. And each one, Hillel answered him with calmness, with understanding, and you know he went back to getting ready for Shabbos. And eventually, after this guy couldn't get Hillel angry, the guy himself got angry, and he said, "Oh, I can't get Hillel angry." And he said, "Hey, you know, Hillel, you're terrible. You just made me lose 400 zuz." And so, what we see from that story is that Hillel was able to maintain his composure, really, and Chazal elsewhere say Hillel was a very humble person. He was an anav, and that's part of why we paskin, because we know we have all these big disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and for most of them we paskin like Beis Hillel. And many of the Mefarshim say because Hillel himself, and I guess his Talmidim, had that midah of anava, of humility. And it makes sense, that's what we explained, right? If the source of kas is really gaiva, is ego, and thinking of yourself as in control, so anava, humility, is the opposite of that, right? That, no, I realize I do have some self-esteem. I know I'm important, but I know that I can't necessarily control every aspect of my life, and I know that things are going to happen, and therefore, I won't get angry as much when things happen that are not agreeing with what I want or are not in my control. Okay, so one practical, again, it's hard, it's not an easy thing to do, but it's just to try to build that midah of anava, of humility, okay? And two, which is really related to the same thing.
Rabban says, the Geras Rabban says that just by holding that kas, it leads to anava. Or the Rav Chasdigim says, I think, and that's it snowballs. The Rav Chasdigim says it's sort of it's counterintuitive. That really, you just stopping anger.
Yeah.
Your anava, leads to anava. And so it's the opposite. Also stops your anger.
So there's a.
It becomes like a snowball.
It's a counter, reciprocal, right. So stopping your anger. Builds the midah of anava, and then anava, exactly, right.
Right.
So let's see source 7, how exactly in situations of anger do you actually, the second thing to do? So that's what we're going to get to, that's the last source. Okay, so the second thing you could do when you're angry, or in a situation, is called something in psychology called reappraisal, okay? Which basically just means thinking differently about the situation or about the person who's angering you, okay? So listen to this study. It's a great study. They took people, and with this we'll end, they took people and they said, and they made them write, think of a time when you got really angry, a situation where it got you really angry for some time in your life, and write a paragraph about it, okay? So they wrote the paragraph about it, and then they had some people as part of the study review the paragraph, and they had the people basically give negative feedback to the person who wrote it. So let's say I'm the participant. So I remember something that really got me angry. I write about it, so I'm already feeling angry because I'm recalling the incident. And then this person reviews it and they say, that was the most terrible paragraph ever. That was the worst essay I've ever read. Okay, so they're just adding insult to injury. Now I'm really mad, okay? Then, to make things more interesting, then they tell them that this person who just told you this is the worst essay ever has cancer, and you should pray for them. Okay, spend 5 minutes praying for them. they told one group to pray for them, and they told one group to just think about that person. Don't pray for them, but just think about the person, okay? And then the last part of the study was then they, no, there are two more parts. Then they made these two people play a game together. And
two
after,
groups?
No, 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 the person who wrote the essay and then the person who gave them feedback, who potentially had cancer. And then at the end of the game, they basically allowed the participant who was angry to blast loud music in the ears of the person who had given them negative feedback. And what they were measuring was how nice or how angry would they be in blasting the music in the person's ears. And what they realized is that the group that they had pray for the person either didn't do the music at all or just did it to a much lesser degree, whereas the people who just thought about the person did go with the blasting because they were still angry. So what the researchers hypothesized is that when you're able to reappraise or sort of change your thinking about the person or the situation, it severely, severely reduces your anger, right? So at the beginning, you're thinking this person is just horrible, right? I just recalled a thing that made me angry, and now they're saying it's the worst thing in the world. But then when you say, oh, they have cancer and they're suffering, and now I'm going to daven for them, right? So I'm going to think about them differently. Now I see that they're in need, and I'm going to daven, I'm going to do something for them, so that changes your perspective on the person.
It sounds like just also the idea of yeshiva called chinuch almost, where actually putting it into practice does more than thoughts. I'm sure
just
if they thought about
it,
and they also thoughts when they're having
exactly.
A bad. But
exactly, correct. So you actually go through an action of...
You solidify the positive thought.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And so this can be translated to situations also. You know, you get frustrated by there's some delay, right? Or you miss your flight, or there's a delay. So you could just brood about it and think about it, you know, how could this happen, and all the bad things that are going to come because of it, or you could reappraise the situation and say, look, now I have an extra half an hour to learn or to work on something that I need to work on, right? So reinterpreting or reappraising, as they call it in the psych world, reappraising situations and looking at the positive can greatly, greatly reduce your anger response. Okay? So one thing is to try to work on your midah of anava, of humility, and two, to reassess the situation. Right? Don't let yourself stew in the anger. Figure out how can I think about this person or the situation differently, and that's going to change your anger.
Sure.
All right, Ashikara, have a good job.
Yeah,